John chapter 20, verse 19, he said, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of it, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Now watch what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for the privileges to be here. I pray, Father, you'd give us wisdom and knowledge tonight, the things that are upon our heart. May they be exactly what you once said. Help me to say only what you once said. And Lord, may you have full course and free reign in every heart and life in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And I want you to look back at that verse in verse number 21. It's the key verse the pastor's chosen for this week. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I want to talk to you tonight about this sending. So send I you. It's a great example of what is in this passage of Scripture. And can I tell you today, folks, that the main objective of this church ought to be to send people to the harvest field of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not to keep everybody... Smile at me, amen. I'm Pastor going to have a heart attack here in a minute, amen? But it's not to keep everybody that God sends here, but to train those and those that God would call and be willing to send to the other side of the world, to send them there, send them to another place in the United States to do something for the cause of Christ. I was preaching a little church in Exchange, West Virginia, up the hollow, 7 miles up a one-lane road, a little place called Chapel of Prayer Baptist Church. And the first week I preached there, we was only going to preach for 3 days, ended up preaching 11 days. God got in that thing, and sitting on the front row was 5 guys. All of them that said God had called them to preach. And there's their pastor up on the platform, and he said, what am I going to do with those guys? I said, get them out of here, amen. I said, they're going to do nothing but give you problems if you don't get them out of here. And he said, what do you mean? I said, hey. And I said, you know what your guys' problem is? I said, you're sitting around here waiting for the pastor to either resign and leave or have a heart attack and die so you can be the next preacher. Why don't you go do something for God? And God got a hold of their hearts. And over the next few months, one went into full-time evangelism, one went into prison ministry, and the other three went to pastoring. And the pastor called me and said, you stole all my church members, amen. I said, but preacher, think about it. You think about this 3 guys pastoring, that guy that's preaching evangelism, and the man preaching in prison, the souls that are being saved, and the people that are in church tonight all over that part of the country because of the fact you were willing to send them. Amen? Just get a hold of this fact tonight, folks. God reached up Grace Baptist Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio, not just to reach North Ridgeville, Ohio, but to send laborers to the harvest fields of the world. Amen. And we got to get a hold of this fact of sending. Now let me show you something here. Notice, go back to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. This sending today, first of all, has a purpose. Look in Ephesians, chapter number 1. Now, when I read these verses, don't get nervous, amen? But in Ephesians, chapter number 1, you find a very interesting thought. I love this verse. In Ephesians, chapter number 1, in verse number 4, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according what? To the good pleasure of his will. Now look down in verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Hey, listen today. I know this. I don't believe in hyper-Calvinism. I'm not in predestination, all that stuff. Somebody say amen. But I just know this. I believe God knew that on May the 20th, 1972, he was going to make a presentation of the gospel to a young 16-year-old boy, and I was going to have the opportunity to choose to come and get saved or refuse not to get saved. He knew that, amen. And he knew that if I were to respond to that night, that I would be saved, and I would be in his will according to the good pleasure of his will, amen. Now watch this. That was the purpose. God purposed it himself before the world began. Amen? Hey, listen, you know what I believe with all my heart? I believe God was sitting up there in heaven when Adam and Eve was in the garden, when the devil come and tempted Eve, and Eve gave that fruit to Adam, and he took it, and man fell into sin. God did not sit up on the throne in heaven and said, now what am I going to do? Amen? He knew what he would do, amen. He had a purpose in this whole thing, folks. This sending has a purpose, amen. As God sent his son, there was a purpose in sending his son. He was sending his son to die on the cross, to purchase my salvation, to give the world an opportunity to be saved, amen. There was a purpose in this thing. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? That purpose took a surrender. We read that verse last night in John chapter 4. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Amen? Hey folks, listen, you know what your problem is? You have no purpose in your life. Hey, listen, young people today are blowing their brains out and committing suicide. Hey, suicide is the highest rate and more rampant in our country than it's ever been. There's more problems with drugs. There's more problems with alcohol. There's more problems with immorality. What's the problem? They have no purpose in life. Amen. But when we understand that God had a purpose and Jesus Christ came with a purpose, and just like Jesus, God sent his son with a purpose, he sends us with a purpose to accomplish something for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it takes submission. Some of you won't come Saturday morning. Smile at me. Say amen. Because you don't see the purpose in it. But aren't you glad somebody come and told you about Jesus Christ? Amen. Hey, 2 years ago in May, I stood at the head of that casket and I preached the funeral of my father-in-law. And I told them people, I said, look, I would not be here today. There would not be a guy standing here preaching the gospel to you had it been for that man right there. Hey, he was not a preacher. He was not a missionary. He was a meat cutter for the A&P food stores for 37 years. In Clarksburg, West Virginia. But he was saved, loved Jesus Christ, went to church every time the doors was open, and served the Lord Jesus Christ. When I showed up down at his house and told him I wanted to see his daughter, he said, okay, here's the deal. You come to church Sunday morning, you come to church Sunday night, you come to church Wednesday night, or you're not coming back next Friday night, and you're not running all over the country. You're going to sit right here in the living room where I know where you're at and what you're doing. Amen. And then he said, now, 9:30 on Sunday morning, be standing in front of your house, I'll pick you up. He come up in his little white Volkswagen, picked me up, took me to church. And hey, listen, I got to hear that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sitting there that morning, that preacher was preaching. I nudged that girl, I said, hey, who's he mad at? He's screaming and yelling, smacking the pulpit. Oh man, this guy's mad at the world. And she said, nobody. I got to listen. I said, wait a minute. Who told him about me? Amen? Hey, listen, that man had a purpose in life. He said, hey, a few weeks before he died, he looked at me and he said, look, son, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to heaven. It's a known fact. He said, when I die, he said, we ain't have no dead, dried up funeral dirge. He said, man, you sing the songs of Zion. You preach the gospel. He said, just like you was in church. Amen. For what? He said, because I didn't pick you up on Sunday morning, take you to church so you could get saved. For you not to do something. He still had a purpose in his life. What? As the Father has sent me, so send I you. When God sent His Son, it was sent with a purpose. That'll keep your kids from getting into mischief. That'll keep your life straight where it ought to be. That'll get you up in the morning to pray. That'll get you up in the morning to read your Bible. That'll get you down the road to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. That'll make you head on track when you don't want to head on track. Hey folks, this faith promise has a purpose. That's what we need in life. It's some purpose. Does your life have purpose? About 3 or 4 weeks before he died, he looked at me. I was sitting in there one day in his room in the nursing home. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I come see you. He said, hey, ain't you got someplace to preach? I said, yeah, and I'll never forget that. I left there and drove to Hagerstown, Maryland. And started a missions conference in Hagerstown, Maryland on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, the pastor's daughter walked the aisle and got saved. Thursday night, a 16-year-old boy sat in the back. He lifted his hand. He wasn't saved. He thought he'd run from God. He headed out the back door, but God sent a soul winner out the side door, met him at the corner of the building. Next thing I know, he's coming back in the back door, weeping and crying, and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, before the week was out, we'd had 6 people saved. I'd call back home and tell my wife. She said he'd lift that little hand up towards heaven and praise the Lord and cry a tear. Why? Even dying, he had a purpose in life. What's your purpose? As the Father has sent me, that God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him may be what? God did not send you into the world to condemn the world. Now, we are independent fundamental Baptists. Amen? We teach the courses on criticism and condemnation. And how to shoot your wounded. But God did not send us into the world to condemn the world. The world's already in condemnation. They understand that condemnation. He sent us into the world to save the world. That the world might come to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. But now watch this. Go back to John chapter 20. I want you to get here. This one got me. Amen. Y'all pray for me. John chapter 20. Notice what he says. So he said to them, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. Purpose. But back up and think about this passage of Scripture. If you go back to verse 1 and read through here, what just happened? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest demonstration of the power of an almighty God was demonstrated and validated that morning. When they came and ran, and you read that story, here comes Peter and John, and they run to that tomb, and John stops and hesitates, and Peter runs all in. But Mary stands on the outside looking in, and there she is looking in, and she sees the two angels, and she said, where is he? Where did you take him? And when she turned to walk away, there's the Lord Jesus Himself. And he spoke to her, and she said, where is he? She thought he was the gardener. Where is he? Where have you put him? And when he finally said, Mary, and called her name, she knew who he was. And she knew that he was not dead. He was resurrected from the dead. And he has power today over death and hell and the grave. Hey folks, listen tonight. I'm sick and tired of powerless, weak, and moving independent Baptist churches in America today. And this sending has a purpose. This sending has a power. And we've kowtowed to the world and the flesh and the devil and this crowd. Hey, folks, go to Ephesians chapter number 3. Go to Ephesians chapter number 3. Okay, here we go back to the book of Ephesians. You know why I like going back to the book of Ephesians? Because you're back, then you're in the church age and you got to argue with God. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3. Notice what he says. Whoa, I love this. He said in Ephesians chapter 3, he said in verse 19, we're to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to what? That worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout ages, world without end. Amen. Do we believe when he said in Acts 1:8 that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth? Do we believe this verse right here that he'll do exceeding abundantly above all that we could think or ask? Not according to our programs, not according to our plans, not according to what we think, but according to the power that worketh in us. Do we not believe that works tonight?
Amen.
Some of you are not too sure about that. I go back, our son, I think I told you a little bit about last year, he went to Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. He down there running around in a squad car with Andy and Barney, amen. That's not far from the truth, amen. He called me. He said, Dad, I believe God wants me in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. I said, what? Six women, one man, all of them over the age of 70. I said, preacher, son, it's North Carolina. It's the Bible Belt of the world. They got to be independent Baptist church in every corner. He said, Dad, there's not one within 15 miles of where this church is. I said, but six women, one man? What? He said, but Dad, it's what God wants. I said, okay. Last Sunday, they went for the fifth Sunday in a row of having over 80. They've had two high days this year of over 100. He said, Dad, I was out. He said, family come the other day. And he said, went out that last night. I was talking to him yesterday. Wednesday coming up here. He said, went out last night on visitation. This man and his wife been coming. He said he'd been saved, but she wasn't sure that she'd been saved. He said, I was able to give her assurance of her salvation. They're coming Sunday to get baptized. They don't even have a baptistry. This can't be a Baptist church, amen. Where's the choir off in the baptistry, amen? They baptize people in a fellowship hall in a watering trough for horses. Loving it. I said to a guy one day, I said, what's going on, man? This is North Carolina. He said, preacher, have you been to some of these North Carolina churches lately? He said, by the time you get through the hacking and the wind sucking and the running the aisles, he said, there's very little Bible being preached. All of a sudden, there's a church being resurrected, Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. What? Is it according to the power? Is it according to the plan of Tim Morrison? No, it's according to the power that worketh in us. There's a power with this sin. Do we believe that? What does he say? He said, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that you would believe God by faith and trust Him, not doubt. He said that you could say that mountain, be thou removed. And I love the last phrase in that verse. And he said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But yet I go to churches all the time. Preacher, you probably do too. Well, we couldn't do any more for missions. Well, old so-and-so would never get saved. You can't have revival in America Revival in America does not depend upon us. Reaching the world with the gospel does not depend upon us. It depends on us being surrendered to go. But it's not us. It's the power of God working in us. Amen. And about the time you think you've got it figured out, do God a favor and go home. Amen? Kind of quiet, didn't you? People would look at you and say, you can't raise your support in 13 months or 12 months and go to the mission field. Jacob Hughes did. Andy Sharpett is getting ready to go to Puerto Rico. You want to talk about how God works things out? Andy's dad is from Puerto Rico. He's getting ready to go to Puerto Rico. He's not just going to Puerto Rico, but he's going to an island in Puerto Rico called Villacas, Puerto Rico. The other day he calls me on the phone. He said, preacher, I said, you ain't gonna believe this. I said, what? He said, what's going on? He said, Brother Clark, and Brother Clark's a friend of ours, a pastor from Tallahassee, Florida. He said he went to a fellowship meeting, met the new assistant pastor at this church that was hosting the fellowship meeting. He said he's Puerto Rican. He's from Villacas, Puerto Rico. He gave him my number. He said, I left there lost. He said, came to America to get a job and get a career, and God gave me salvation and called me to preach and change my life. Amen. He said, man, I got a family lives on that island. He said, we own property on that island. And he said, I'm going to meet you there when you go in December. And I'm going to introduce you to my family. And we're going to get you a place to meet. And everything will be set up. When you get ready to go, just get the support and get there. Amen. Amen. You can't make that stuff up. That's the power that worketh in us. The sending has a power. It has a purpose. Now, I want you to go back to John chapter 20. I want you to get a hold of this because I'm going to preach to some young people tonight for a while. I love preaching to kids at camp. And this young man was at camp when I preach at. I usually tell churches that the pastor and the kids that went to camp, this is not camp. And we don't preach it in most churches like I preach at camp because most adults in churches can't handle it. Amen? Smile at me. Say amen. You couldn't stand four-hour services to start off with. Amen? You couldn't stand invitations that lasted for 45 minutes and an hour. I was preaching a youth camp the other day in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania last July. And we never even got into the preaching. Bunch of teenage boys got a hold of their heart on Thursday night. And they got to standing around singing Lester Roloff's song, I Came Here to Stay. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. Friday, everywhere you saw them four or five teenage boys, they singing that song. We got in that service that night, and they wanted to sing a special. They got them sang that song. Got down and into that song. They just turned around and fell flat on their face on a concrete floor. And for 45 minutes, I watched the whole group of teenagers laying on a concrete floor weeping before God, begging God to change America, change their families, change their lives. That's not anything but the power of God that worketh in us. There was one pastor there got real nervous. He thought we'd done one charismatic and speaking in tongues or something. He came wandering up to the front. I'm sitting there and he looked at me and I said, don't even touch that, buddy. I walked over and said, it's fine, preacher. He said, well, I've never seen anything like this. I said, that's what's wrong with us. That's what I'm saying. The average church would come unglued if it happened at your church. But you come back to John chapter 20. There's four or five more points. I may have to give them the rest of them to you tomorrow night. I know how Baptists are. You keep them out too late, they don't come back tomorrow night. Smile at me. But I want you to catch this. What did he say twice? In verse 19 at the end, it said, he saith unto them, peace be unto you. And then he said it again in verse 21. Then came Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. When he came back 8 days later, what did he say in verse 26? And he stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Can I tell you, there's a peace in this sending. There's a purpose. There's a power. There's a peace. I was reading there today and I was thinking about it. Here's the disciples in that boat and they're rowing against that storm. And what's Jesus doing? Laying in the boat asleep. You say, was he asleep because he was tired? No. I think he was asleep because he was trying to tell those disciples in the midst of the storm, there's peace. I've stood and watched parents wring their hands. Said, I don't know what I would do if God would call my kids to the mission field. There's peace in this sending. When Justin Stanley got ready to go to Australia, when he announced his call to Australia, a few weeks later, his mother calls me and she said, I want you to come down here to Greenwood, South Carolina. I want to feed you dinner. And I said, okay. I drove down there and preached at the church, went out there and ate dinner at their house. And I mean typical southern old plantation. The house they lived in was the caretaker's house on a 2,500-acre plantation. Them old mossy oak trees. I drove down there. Her husband owned a shrimp boat. We ate shrimp cocktail. We ate an old-fashioned Cajun shrimp boil. Make a Presbyterian shout, amen. We get done eating. Went in and sat down in the living room. She handed me a cup of coffee and sat down. She said, now. I went, oh boy, here we go. She said, you got to help me send my kids to the mission. How do I do this? She had three little boys, three little grandsons. She said, it's the only grandkids I'll have. How do I send them to the mission? There's peace. There's peace. There's a contentment. What did Jesus say? My peace I give unto them, not as the world giveth. How can you leave the comforts of America? How can you go on the other side of the world? How can you give up those things and do what God calls you to do and be happy about it? I will not be back home more than 48 hours for the next 3 months. And I love every bit of it. You're talking about a guy that before God called me into missions, my idea of vacation was to go from Clarksburg, West Virginia to the mountains of West Virginia. Amen. I never left the state. Now I just assume not go back some days because there's another place to preach, another missionary to go see. I'm reminded of this peace every time I sit down in a plane seat beside my wife. We got ready to take off the other day out of Buenos Aires, Argentina. I reached over and I grabbed her hand and we prayed. And she said, let's hope it's not another Johannesburg. I said, me too, honey. Another night I'll tell you about the burning airplane coming out of Johannesburg, South Africa. She looked at me and smiled, and she goes, but it'd be all right. He said, why is that so big deal? The woman hates flying. She does not dislike it. She hates it. But even that night in the burning airplane, as the smoke was filling the front of the plane, and all the lights had went out, that little spiel they give you that says the lights will illuminate if there's a power failure and show you the exit, it's not just a spiel, it does work. And the guy said, we'll be back down in 28 minutes. They were dumping jet fuel out the wings of that airplane. I thought it was the wings were on fire. They were dumping jet fuel out the wings of that airplane. When we landed, they foamed one side of the airplane as we exited the other side of the airplane. And in the midst of all that, reached over and grabbed her hand, and I said, honey, we've had the most wonderful life anybody could ever have if this is it. She looked at me and said, you're right. Peace. Peace. You know why you don't have any peace at your job? You know why you don't have any peace at your house? You know why you don't have any satisfaction in your life? Because you've not allowed God to send you where He wants to send you. Doesn't mean He's going to send you to the other side of the world, but He may send you down the street. He may send you to your job. He may send you to your neighbors. He may send you to the ball team. He may send you to somebody. He's got a job for you, and He has a purpose in your life and a power to execute that purpose. And when you get in that purpose, underneath that power, you're going to experience a peace that the world does not understand. Hello? How you can drag in so tired you can't put one foot in front of the other one, lay down on a bed, and get up the next morning and do it all over again. Why? Peace. That's why I think Paul sitting there that night, chained to that prison guard, writing that out at force in 2 Timothy, he said, I am now ready to be offered. Amen. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me. But he said, not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. I don't think Paul was chugging and tugging against that chain. He was sitting there with that Roman prison guard saying, hey man, I'm getting ready to get out of here. Are you going with me? In the midst of the storm. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. He's going to send you with a purpose. He's going to send you with a power. He's going to send you with a peace. You shown that last night, brother? I'm thinking. Now, God, I'd accept it if you called my kids to Australia, but I doubt that I would go see them. I hate snakes, amen? There's only two good kinds of snakes, plastic ones and dead ones, amen? I'm not too sure about the plastic ones, amen? And to have five of the most deadly snakes in the world in the same continent, let alone the spiders. I didn't realize the blowfish can kill you. Good night. How do you take that little boy and go? Peace. Peace. How are you going to go, son? Grow up there for the next few years and say, okay, now where am I going to find a wife? And peace. When I talked to that missionary's daughter, that's one thing she was missing. She didn't have peace. Mom and Dad had came back from the mission field, was going to a different field. She had grew up on that field from the time she was 3 years old. She's now 16, getting ready to turn 17. She said, preacher, I do not belong over there. I belong back here. And it's not America. And the struggle in her life was she had no peace. You can have that peace. As the Father has sent me, so send I you.